Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray, you look terrific today. That tie and the whole outfit looks terrific. Ray's producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. And Ray, I heard one of the news headlines about, what was this, 30 inches of snow? People practically fighting to get up to the top of the mountain. Hey, I grew up in Chicago. As a kid, I played in the snow enough to last a lifetime, so I would not be fighting my way to get to the top of the mountain, to Mount Lemmon, to see the snow. I mean,
us Tucsonans were snow deprived.
There you go. But I mean, yeah, it's great to look at. Love to look at it from down here in the valley. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, the 11th of January, 2016. Paul Eckerstrom and Bruce Ash both grew up in Tucson. Did you guys ever want to get up to the snow immediately?
No.
No?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But I found out as a kid pretty quickly I didn't like being up there very long.
Yeah, I mean, anyway. There are links to our Buckmaster Show at Buckmaster Show. We have TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, the TucsonLifestyle.com, and Southern Arizona News Examiner all have our show prominently displayed on their home pages. Thank you to all of those folks. We're going to begin with the Monday political face-off, followed at 12:30, our Arizona Business Journal, presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We're going to talk about the top scams of 2015 and maybe the scam of the month as we begin our new year here. We'll wrap up the show with our man in Mexico, Keith Rosenblum. Keith covers the border for us, and it seems like, yeah, the rest of the big drug guy down there in Mexico, that's a big story. And then the woman who was elected mayor, she was sworn in and shot the next, I think at the, perhaps even the inauguration. But I mean, those are the stories that make news here in the United States. And I know Keith is going to say, well, it's all blown out of proportion, but we'll get his opinion on the Buckmaster Show here at about 12:45. The live line number 790, our Facebook page under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and we're at Twitter at Buckmaster Show. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run. Since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors. Got some of those mirrors in my own home. Look at one every morning in my bathroom. Moe did a wonderful job. Art for your walls. Got some of that as well. Picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Mo will come out and do all the work. He'll do all the hanging for you. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. The Monday Political Face-Off features our team of commentators. One of our teams today is Bruce Ash, now in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, former chairman of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. And we heard from them a few minutes ago talking about Bruce didn't want to go up and play in the snow, but Paul, you did as a kid. Yep. You went up there?
Just a little too cold, though, after an hour or so.
Just to get a taste of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got put on restriction once for about 30 days after a date up there that ended at being stuck at a snow bank. So I'm not real
badly.
Big on,
that
on
date
Mount Lemmon. And
oh, my
that was
goodness.
That was a bad thing. And it was actually with my current wife.
Well, oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you gentlemen remember from my first time living in Tucson when I came out here to get away from the cold weather in Chicago to come to the U of A? We would go up there and goof around. There was a lodge up there, as I recall.
Yeah, there's a ski lodge.
Yeah,
ski lodge.
But it's really nice. It burned down or something.
Oh, they got it back. I mean, they've still got the restaurant.
The original one, anyway.
Yeah, maybe the original.
Do you remember
one.
That at all, Bruce? Vaguely, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bad memories.
All right. Hey, before we talk about the start of the legislative session, which the state of the state comes up in about an hour, the annual governor's message to the legislature, and we had State Senator Steve Farley on the show on Friday saying that the governor may try to introduce getting rid of the state income tax I think it's pretty safe to say he's going to introduce something to reduce taxes. But before we do that, Clint Bolick of the Goldwater Institute, who is a friend of yours, Bruce, you're happy he was appointed by the governor to be a judge. And that's a Supreme Court justice. Correct. So I guess it's technically, a judge, but, well, it's a justice.
He is a judge, and he is, by all accounts that I've seen, I've known Clint for probably 8 or 10 years, one of the brightest, most thoughtful, forward-thinking, thinking out of the box individuals. He is an advocate. I had urged the governor to make the appointment. I was stunned, and I use that word not advisedly. I really was stunned when he made the appointment, because this was a courageous appointment for him to make. There were some other very, very good judges that were part of the group, and I obviously felt that Clint would be a great pick. And the reason he's a great pick, Paul and Bill, is not just because of his one vote, but because I think of the influence that he could have on the court. And this is not, you know, necessarily a conservative kind of a leaning. It really is, I think, a constitutional approach to justice. And I think he's going to be a bright beacon there,
Paul,
for a number of years to
come. Paul, are you concerned with this appointment?
Well, actually, there's kind of two varying things, one positive, one negative. One, you know, being the lawyer at the Goldwater Institute gives me pause about his ideological political bent that he's going to bring to the court. Given that, though, is everything I've heard is he's very much a libertarian as well. And I work in the criminal justice world, and my understanding is he may be very, very good on some of the criminal justice issues in terms of protecting people's rights and using the Bill of Rights a little bit more robustly than a lot of courts have in the past. So I always say this about the appointments of judges is you got to wait and see what they do and in their decisions in their career.
And for a living, you appear before judges.
Well, yeah, so. And the Supreme Court obviously is the highest court of the Arizona land and does all the appellate work. But I would say that to my friends on the left that he may not be that bad of a judge, especially on criminal justice and Bill of Rights issues.
No, you're right on with that observation, Paul. Not all of his decisions are likely to please every conservative in this state, and he's a good thinker, and he's a deliberate force, and he is not going to be going off half-cocked with any of these. I think this guy might be the best pick on that court in many, many a year, and I'm looking forward to his service.
Paul, at the beginning of our interview, I said there will probably be some call today during the State of the State to reduce income tax, reduce taxes further in Arizona, and whether or not the governor goes the whole way and says let's push for getting rid of the state income tax. He's made no bones about it. He would like to get rid of it, but we're going to see a call for a reduction more taxes.
Well, I think that's a huge mistake. An income tax is the fairest tax there is because it's a progressive tax. It means that the wealthy will pay their fair share on a graduated income tax, where other taxes hit people of all incomes, basically the lower income folks and middle class get hit hardest on, for example, a sales tax. The other thing is every time we cut taxes here, we lose revenue. And that revenue, if you've watched, and I've said this I don't know how many times on this program, Bill, since 1991 when Simonton attacked the income tax, we knocked it down to one-third of what it used to be. And you can directly correlate the drop in per capita spending, per student spending on K through 12, and also the rise in tuition rates at the universities with those particular cuts over those years since 1991. I think we have one-third the state income tax we once had. I think we have a quarter of the revenue we once had, a reduction in a quarter of the revenue we once had. And you have to take into account we have a population increase that's going on in this state. So given that, with the problems we have in education, the problems we have even keeping our roads in good shape, We need revenue to do those things. Government has to have some money to do those type of services. And I think that that would be a mistake. We have a surplus now because, frankly, some of the draconian cuts that took place last year to balance the budget, they rushed the budget through very, very fast because they knew that there was tax revenue that was coming in that hadn't been reported yet. That would have said that they weren't as in bad a shape last year in the budget as they thought. As a result, we have this huge surplus, and frankly, we should use that surplus and invest it in our kids, invest it in rebuilding our roads so that we can keep Arizona viable economically.
Bruce, if we were to do away with the state income tax, when we had Senator Farley on the show Friday, he said that would leave a hole in our budget of it would take away about 40% of our revenue. How would we make that up?
Yeah, thank you. It's scare tactics that Democrats love to use because they love the T word probably more than anything else in the English vocabulary. Nevada doesn't have a state income tax, nor does Texas, nor does New Hampshire. New Hampshire doesn't even have a state sales tax. Florida doesn't have a state sales tax. All of those states have adapted a tax system which has an overall sort of a reach to it. In some of those states, and I've done business in places like Texas and Florida, there are stamp taxes if you buy a property or sell a property. There are stamp taxes if you place a mortgage on a property. These are things that affect, you know, the wealthier people in the economy, which is, I think, a favorite thing for Paul and his friends to focus on. Look, there are all kinds of other ways to create the revenue that's needed. And when you look at the states who do this, they don't have the worst school districts. They don't have the kind of problems that Paul and Steve and others predict with doom and gloom. And I think it's an admirable thing to be looking at. Should there be an emphasis on education? Paul and I have agreed on this point for many, many, many years. The problem is where Paul goes wrong, and those who think like him, is they want administrators and the unions to run the schools, and there's a whole bunch of other people who want results.
You keep
saying that. We haven't had great results out of public education in some period of time.
Yeah, since 1991 when we started slashing it.
Paul, that is just simply your opinion. You're entitled to it, but it's not factual. We've had problems in this state, and all states have had lots and lots of criticism about education for generations.
Let me address
real
one
quickly
thing
before the break, and then I'll give it to you after the break. But go ahead.
Just to address one thing he said, that like Texas and Nevada don't have income tax. Well, they have other sources of revenue. Gaming and tourist and bed taxes in Nevada and in Texas extraction taxes on oil, which is a big industry there. That's how they can balance their budget without having an income tax.
We could do the same thing with copper. We could do the same thing with the gaming industry and the tourist industry here, Paul.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:17. David is on hold. David, you'll be up first when we come back after the break. It's the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's. Back right after this.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off. Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom are here in studio with me. Moe's Fine Framing and Gallery presenting our Monday political face-off. Moe located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. They're also on Facebook. David has been waiting for us at 790-2040. David, what do you think about the state income tax?
I want to see it repealed. Here's the reason why.
Okay.
When they delisted the pig meow and they greenlighted all this development in my area, the developers went crazy, putting up thousands and thousands of tract homes. The schools got overcrowded. The schools, local Marana school district has come up with budget override, bond election, budget override, and then they need money for bigger roads, more schools, and everything else. My taxes went from $1,500 to over $5,000. I'm a vowed no-growther because you admitted earlier on this growth, population growth in this state that creates a more demands for services from the government and drives taxes up.
Okay.
Well, since they raised my property taxes so much to pay for Marana's growth, which I think is awful.
All right. There we go. Quick comment.
Well, David, on the basis of what you just said, if there's lower taxes and there's even more people coming to Arizona, how is that going to impact your other taxes?
Paul,
well, income tax, I think, is the fairest tax. Property tax, just like he was saying, can really hurt a property owner who's just trying to pay their mortgage. The state did away with their property tax. So I don't know where the state gets any revenues except for from sales tax, again, which I think is a regressive tax. It hurts regular folks a lot harder to do the things that it needs to do as a government, which is fix roads and schools and universities. That's important. Now, I feel for them because, you know, a lot of those property taxes are local taxes, and it's because of growth in his area. But, you know, that doesn't mean we should get rid of the income tax because the income tax is a fairer tax than, frankly, the property taxes that he's dealing with.
Well, if Paul's really for responsible government, and I think he is, I think he would agree that the taxing ought to be kept local, and you ought to be able to have more immediate access to your public officials. So to the extent that, for example, the Marana School District or the city of, or town of Marana were to pass taxes that people feel are unfair, it's going to be easier for new people to be elected.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree that the local government is better government the more local it is. So
all right.
We don't have a disagreement there, Bruce.
Okay, Bren is up next at 790-2040. Hello, Bren.
Hi. Yeah, I had a similar question. I used to work for a company, a mortgage company, that serviced loans for individuals. And we always had a very, very terrible time in the states that do not have state taxes, that every year their mortgage would go up because the amount we had to keep went up because their taxes went up, and they were paying $5,000 every 6 months. These are communities that are not well off to do and are not in any way places where people are going to go visit vacation.
Okay. Is that mostly property taxes you're talking about then?
It's not property taxes. They're individual school taxes that are assessed as well as property taxes.
Well, these are all part of the property tax.
Yeah, that's part of the property tax. That's my point. Is I don't think property tax or sales tax is the best tax. I've never thought that. They're more regressive. I think the proper tax, the best tax, is a progressive tax like an income tax. It's the fairest way to
do it. As long as everybody's paying taxes, and when half of the public isn't paying taxes, Paul, that's a problem.
Well, I don't disagree with that either.
One thing that the governor, I think this has been pretty much agreed upon, that he's going to say in the state of the state, he wants to put the changing the sentencing mm-hmm. in Arizona, Paul Ackerstrom, is a top priority.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's been needed in this state for a very long time. We're putting way too many nonviolent people into prisons and not getting them the help they need, whether it's mental health or drug help to get off drugs. And it's very expensive to put them in prison. It destroys families. It destroys communities. And Texas, a very red state, very Republican state, has had a very, very good track record. And Governor Perry, give him credit, he did this, of reducing the cost of by changing the mandatory sentencing statutes. And nonviolent criminals were given more help to and they took some of the money, some of the savings, and put it into help for mentally ill and for drug addicted people to get them off drugs. And what happened is they got more productive citizens who could pay their taxes, less people in prison. They dropped their prison population and their prison costs, and their crime rate went down all at the same time. And so I think Doug Ducey's on something. I'm just waiting for the details, because if he's just going to talk about drug users, well, drug users commit other crimes, nonviolent ones, to pay for their drug use. He needs to be fairly expansive on this, take the savings and invest some of them into drug rehab, into mental health programs for the mentally ill, so to get the right impact. If he just takes the savings and makes another tax cut, then we're going to have a problem. But he can take some of it and give a tax cut. I don't have a problem with that. But some of that money needs to, like Texas, put it into programming. And if he does that, he would take a giant step, in my view, as a positive governor.
Okay. Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Matthew, I've got about 1 minute. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I believe if the governor attempts to either reduce or to do away with income taxes, the only result is going to be that local governments will be forced to, because of budget issues to raise property taxes even more.
Yeah.
There's no other place for the money to come from, and so you would basically be shifting it to property or a sales tax locally, and that's the reality. And
well, in that way, you also, Matthew, you've taken the responsibility and the burden that the local municipalities have to run their school districts more efficiently, to run their local municipalities more efficiently, and you put the burden on them to do it directly.
Well, problem with that is there's a lot of restrictions the state has put over municipalities and school districts specifically on caps and things like that that don't allow them to raise those taxes. And even if you raise those taxes, those are the very taxes that I think are counterproductive. They're not fair, and they hurt business, and they hurt in real estate. Certainly, property tax hurts the real estate industry. So, I think there's a lot of I think the state income tax should be brought back to where it was in 1991. It wasn't that high in the first place back then. Remember, this is the state of Barry Goldwater. So, you know, we should be looking at taxes as we need certain amount of revenue, and what's the best and fairest tax to use? And I think it's the income tax. And the state and municipalities, only the state can do an income tax. The municipalities and local governments can't do an income tax.
Watch out. The city of Tucson is going to try to get city sales tax increase on a charter change election. Watch out. It's coming because all the people appointed to the charter change committee are Democrats.
All right, on that note, Bruce Ash, Paul Eckerstrom, thank you, gentlemen. Hope it's a good week for you. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, doing a great job with anything you need from custom frame mirrors to art on the walls to really great framing. They do a terrific job. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. We'll be back right after this. Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, pushing toward 12:35 on this newly minted Monday afternoon, the 11th of January. It's time for our segment. We call it Arizona Business Journal, presented by the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Ryan Foster joins us now. Ryan is the communications manager for the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Ryan, how was your break? You have a good holiday?
Oh, yes. It was really nice. How was yours?
Very nice. Thank you. But even though it was the holidays, the scammers take no holiday.
They don't take a break.
They look for every opportunity, whether it's the holidays or any other time of year. How can we fleece people out of money is their particular goal. And 2015, Ryan, was, I guess you could call it, a banner year for the scammers.
Yeah. so we're always getting these scams in. We actually introduced our scam tracker last year. So that gave us the ability to actually get data on these scams that consumers are getting plagued with, both locally and nationally. And now we have this real data on what scams are popular at any time and what parts of the city, state, or country that they're happening in. In 2015, a lot of the scams that were widely reported were the IRS scam, the tech support scam, and then lottery sweepstakes scams, of course. Those were the top three. But one we had that was recently interesting that I'd never heard about before, it was about a company. They called us in. It was a director of a charity. She owns greatergood.org. And there was a company claiming that they were going to donate money to her charity for everyone that bought stuff off her website. But she said she's never heard of this company, that she never set up that partnership. So people were just, on good faith, they're making these purchases and thinking they're going to be donating money, but they're not. So
what did she call her company, supposedly?
GreaterGood.org the charity.
Okay, that's the charity.
Right, and the company that was claiming this was Fun Sports Gear.
So okay. So she was saying some of that money would go back to the greater good.
Right, which she never got a penny from. So, pretty random. They were from Indiana, so I don't even know how they found this charity in Tucson, Arizona.
Well, they always find, these scammers must just, they don't sleep at night. They just go through, let's hit Arizona next.
Yeah.
I want to go back to some of the top scams, if you can kind of refresh our memory. The IRS scam, how did that one work?
Sure. So someone will give you a call. It sounds very official, very serious, and it's this man, and he says that the IRS has been trying to get a hold of you, so all you have to do is you have to send them back taxes that you owe, and that'll get you out of this bind. You might be arrested if you don't.
Oh, I think I have gotten that call.
A lot of people have.
An official case number has been opened. And it's call this number, and then if you've called the number, I guess they'd probably want you to give them some money.
Absolutely. That's always what they want.
And then the tech support scam, I have gotten that one numerous times.
Yes.
And that is, how would you characterize that one, Ryan?
That's also a phone call. That'll be a guy or woman. They'll say that they see that your computer has viruses, so they need to log in from their computer to fix your viruses. But really, they're just stealing access and personal information from your computer.
Well, I actually have a friend who fell for this one, and that was horrible because once they got into your computer, look out.
Yes.
Yeah, it was bar, you know, the turn out the lights.
Oh yeah,
they're once they're in. And the lottery sweepstakes scam, now that, you know, the lottery's making news that it's at this record level, I was on the front page of the paper.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, the scams are out there with this one.
That's a big one to look out for right now. And always, I mean, people are always calling us and saying that they've received like this letter in the mail, and it's saying that they owe you money. And so all you have to do is send in a processing fee to receive your winnings. But that's never the case. You never have to spend money to make money.
Ryan Foster is with us from the Better Business Bureau. He is the communications manager. And congratulations, by the way, on that new appointment.
Oh, thank you.
And Ryan, one of the top New Year's resolutions is I want to lose weight.
Absolutely.
And so the scammers know this, so they're kind of weaseling their way in right now into that area.
Yeah. So scammers work off vulnerabilities. And so for people who might want to lose weight, if you're looking at joining a gym, always make sure that you're reading the entire contract. Know the details of the membership, and if there's a payment schedule, automatic renewals, or monthly hidden fees. That goes for any legitimate gym. You just always want to make sure you know what you're paying for. But also, there are websites that will claim to have diet products that they want to sell you that don't work, or you'll never receive the products, or things like that. So always check with BBB to make sure that the website you're using is legitimate.
And the contract, you have to really check that contract to make sure that, you know, about the payment schedule. Are they taking like an automatic renewal? Are there some monthly hidden fees they're taking?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's not necessarily a scam, but it's just something that you should really look out for, because people get into binds and these monthly contracts that they can't get out of.
Anything else we should be aware of as the new year's get going?
Yeah. So whenever it's the new year, you might want to find a new job. And also with high unemployment and long job searches common this time of year, scammers are targeting vulnerable job seekers. If you see a job offer, a work at home ad, or a business opportunity that requests your personal information up front, be sure it's a legitimate company before engaging with them.
Yeah, before you give out your social security information, perhaps you're thinking about, this job looks really good. You contact them and they say, well, before we can even talk to you, we want your social security number. So, Ryan, that's a huge red flag.
Oh, yeah. There's another one where they'll say, we need your bank account information so that we can pay you. And people send that over sometimes, and that's very unfortunate. Yes.
So looking forward to a big year at the BBB?
Yeah, we're really excited for this year. We got some great things that are coming up. We have things for business owners and consumers to get excited about. Along with our scam tracker that we released last year, we have all kinds of events and mixers. And we actually have one this Thursday at Commoner & Co. I don't know if you guys have been there yet, but it's a Sunrise & Kolb. It'll be Thursday from 5:30 to 7:30. And then we also have our Torch Awards, of course. We're still looking for a few sponsorships. So if you want to be a part of a great event, that's something you should look at on our website at tucson.bbb.org.
And again, the event, the mixer, for folks who have not been to the mixer, it's really an easy way to get folks. Introduce yourself and get to know folks in the business community.
Right.
And again, the venue is Commoner and Company.
Yes.
Is this a new restaurant?
It's a newer restaurant. Okay. It opened last year, I believe.
Okay.
It's very good.
And for consumers, you have expanded your request for a quote system. How does that work, Ryan?
Yeah, so a lot of people don't know that we have an e-quote system on our website. You can go to a business's profile and you can click, it says request a quote, and you can just type in what you need, and then it sends it off to the business owner, and they'll send back what they can do for you. It's very easy. It's free. It's a great thing to use.
And the Better Business Bureau is a great resource for people who are, well, just go on your website and you've got all sorts of information about local businesses, and it's a very friendly site to use.
Yeah, it's very user-friendly. We've got a search bar at the top. If you're curious about a particular company, you can search for them, or an industry, you can find good businesses to work with.
And if you do feel you're being scammed, or you've gotten a curious phone call, to put it mildly, and it just doesn't seem right, you're more than willing, and I know you do this every day. You take a lot of calls from people.
Right.
Folks can give you a call, Ryan Foster, at the Better Business Bureau, and say, hey, Ryan, I just got this call. Could you check it out, or do you know anything about it?
Yeah, we'll be happy to do that. We love getting those calls, so we know what's going on out there.
All right. And the website again is really easy.
Yes, tucson.bbb.org.
Ryan Foster, thank you very much for being with us. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up on 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show, we will be talking with Keith Rosenblum, who covers the border for us. A lot of big news about the kingpin of the Mexican drugs being arrested here in the last couple of days. We'll talk to Keith about that after this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Can we just talk? I want to talk to you about cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. And their buddy, the scorpions. You know, if there's something that drives me up the wall, it's a cockroach. And it's not something people talk about. But we didn't just talk about it, we did something about it. We called Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.? Well,
flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Tuesday for Terry Bracey, our man in Washington, plus Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Buckmaster, during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and our archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City hosts a variety of art galleries, gift shops, historic buildings, fine dining, quaint homes, and plenty of great accommodation in Silver City, including Little Toad Creek Inn. Find out about all the great places to stay and the many things to do by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show our contributor on the border. He's one of 24 folks who are kind enough to give a little bit of their time to our show. He's Keith Rosenblum, former senior border reporter for the Arizona Republic, former Sonora correspondent for the Arizona Daily Star, and he joins us on the live line. How are you, Keith?
So I'm thinking that to start off 2016, that there's too many times that the word former feeds my titles. It makes me think that it's like kind of like nostalgia, like, I don't know, church bingo
What are you currently?
Well, that's the sad part. I have no current identity at all. I'm doing a series. I still do some freelance writing, and for the most part, I just live off of the self-esteem that comes from doing your show.
There has been a Lauren has been waiting very patiently, and he wants to talk about the drug kingpin who was arrested and the Sean Penn connection. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, sir. I'll try to keep it brief. I never cease to be amazed at how often the Hollywood figures that should just stick to their movies and whatnot get involved in politics. Case in point was Dennis Rodman with the leader of North Korea. This can create some real dicey, sensitive political or diplomatic issues. Now, if Sean Penn indeed had something to do with making it easier for authorities to track down Juan Guzman being the powerful figure he would be, probably if he felt like it could put a hit out on Sean Penn.
Yeah, actually, Lauren, I wondered about that too when I read about the kind of the Sean Penn and that interview with the with Guzman. I was thinking, oh my goodness, I wonder if that's not going to make Guzman's people happy. Suddenly, Guzman's arrested after meeting with Sean Penn. Keith, weigh in on this.
Well, vanity hasn't yet been my downfall. Nor yours, Bill and caller, but it's possible that that's what will happen. I think that what happens when you get to those strata of fame in the world, and this is not a United States phenomenon, it's everywhere, that you need something new to kick the adrenaline in, and that's what it is. And so initially, you know, you might say that either Sean Penn or that Kate del Castillo were somehow complicit or were somehow committing a crime or ought to be investigated themselves. But then you go back to lots of encounters between journalists and other, you know, people who are perceived as pariahs or have some other, you know, infamous reputation, and we've never really penalized the journalists themselves. My hunch is that it made it easier to follow him. I actually covered a trial in New Hampshire mid-2015. It was in Concord, in the federal courthouse, and it was an FBI sting operation in which they had a bunch of FBI operatives had set up a fake, kind of like Abscam was in the 70s or 80s, whenever that was in the U.S. Congress, but they'd set up a fake drug smuggling ring and had sought to or pretended to send drugs from Ecuador and Peru both to Europe and to the U.S., and one of the people who was arrested at that time, there were seven, they were all convicted, they're all supposedly from the Sinaloa cartel. One of them was a Guzman nephew or a Guzman cousin. And it's possible, I actually, after I covered the trial, I got a call from both Univision in Miami and also a guy in Madrid who both said, hey, that's how they arrested Chapo Guzman the first time, that actually that sting operation that had taken place in Miami, in Detroit, and the reason the trial was held in Concord was because there was one part of the operation that took place in New Hampshire. It's kind of an unlikely place to try somebody. But anyway, the interesting things to me about the, number one, the interesting thing to me about the arrest is number one, how in Mexico, if you pay attention, if you think that social networking is actually a harbinger in society, or you think that it matters, it's almost all been uniformly in favor. Like, what a bummer it was that he was detained. There seems to be something in that. There's a subculture that takes over the media, kind of like a National Enquirer kind of mentality that says, what a pity that they got him. And that's what that actually is that's the disdain for one's own government in the case of Mexico. I thought it was interesting also that when Guzman does the video to attest to the legitimacy of that of his meetings with Penn and with Kate del Castillo, that he pronounces his name. I don't know if you heard it. He says, Sean Penn. He says something in Spanish. He says, I hereby verify that I've seen the journalists, I've seen Kate del Castillo, as well as Sean, which would be how you pronounce it if you were a Spanish speaker and you knew absolutely nothing about the United States. It's funny how the levels of ignorance, you know, permeate that universe. Anyway, that was the surprising thing to me, and it certainly was what the Peña Nieto administration needed after having been, you know, depicted as buffoons and hardly, you know, custodians. And I think now, actually, they might look at an extradition, which they haven't been wanting to do in the past with either Guzman or with other people of his category because of the potential of where it might lead.
Well, and then the other story that had made some news headlines, the mayor, the lady mayor in Mexico, who was killed a day after taking office. These are the kind of stories that get a lot of play, as you know, Keith Rosenblum, here in America. The violence is always headline grabbers from Mexico.
I continue to think that Mexico is now that we get to see it in a presidential election, you get to see, the likes of a Donald Trump or the likes of a Ted Cruz, whose message is one of roughness and of fear. And I continue to think that we are ready to buy into whatever fear there would be. So the fear, you won't hear about really a buoyant economy. You won't hear about what didn't happen in Mexico in the way of violent crime. You'll always hear those stories. And incidentally, the idea that a mayor would be shot on day one of his or her administration doesn't move me in the way it would if a U.S. mayor would, because very frequently it is the local mafias, you know, if you think Detroit or Cleveland or Chicago, the different gangs there were, will a lot of times have their own candidate that they'll put into office to protect their part of the of whether it's not like, you know, we think of it as only of being narcotics, but it's not narcotics. It's just also other kinds of protection or other kinds of, you know, control of massage parlors or things like that. And so it's possible that she would have gotten a message early on, don't do it. Anyway, we tend to think of everybody as being oh, you know, a mayor or a what am I thinking of, as if they were I'm thinking of some like Indira Gandhi or what was her name, the winner from Guatemala of the Nobel Prize for Peace. So yeah, I don't in and of myself I don't start to mourn. I just think, whoa, that was a public execution. Usually things like that are more private.
Yes. But generally, it is these are the headlines that people, and they think of Mexico, and they think in many ways of violence.
It's because I think that it's the conditioning. I mean, let's focus on the U.S. for a sec and terrorism, and we've put in that one category of terrorism. Even the San Bernardino shootings. My argument would be that anytime there's a mass murder of any kind, there's a mental illness involved. If you happen to have a propensity toward mental illness because you're a Muslim or because you're an Orthodox Jew or because you're a some other, you know, religion, you have a natural religious fervor of some kind, it still requires a certain mental instability to do it no matter what. And we've managed somehow to lump in Mexico with fear of violence and our need to protect borders and all these other things. Donald Trump has been called in a leadership role of that, of instilling fear. And I can't tell you still the number of people who break the United States into three parts. Still, I don't know where your listeners will be or where you'll be, but it won't be three equal parts. But there's one third of our population, or not one third numerically, but a third section that will never go to Mexico in its entire life. May not go to Canada or Guatemala or even France because they've been so conditioned to think that the American way is the correct way. Then there's the one third that will pretty much ignore whatever the U.S. State Department says or anyone else says. And these are a lot of people who are now in Alamos or Rocky Point or San Carlos or Hermosillo and doing business and know that if you're not looking for trouble that trouble won't find you. And then there's that third that can be persuaded, that pay attention to the headlines in the Star or the Republic or the Wall Street Journal and make a decision with the best info that they can, because maybe they don't have the anecdotes or the friendships or the family, whatever. So that's where we are. And you're right in saying that the fear continues to sell. Xenophobia generally goes a long way. But I can tell you, I'm in Hermosillo right now, and I'm going off to Piedras Negras. I was in Del Rio, Texas, and Ciudad Acuña last week. And I can tell you that there's a core group of people that just don't even, they would laugh or they would not pay attention to any of this. And drug trafficking is interesting, or, you know, a part of their lives. If you happen to be one fraction of 1% of the population that's involved in it some way, whether you're a dealer or a consumer, and it just doesn't impact daily life, except to the extent that the laws that were designed to address it somehow wind up corroding your civil rights on a day-to-day basis. But other than that, you know, the likelihood of anything happening to you or family on a trip to Nogales or anywhere else in the country, even Michoacan, even the heart of the of drug trafficking, is minimal.
Thank you very much, Keith Rosenblum. Thanks for being with us.
Good to catch up. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Keith Rosenblum on the Buckmaster Show this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 tomorrow morning. The Daily Double with Christy Simone and a different guest host every day. And then we have Sean McCluskey's new show from 9 to 10. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with my friend Ray Allen, 12:04 tomorrow on our Tuesday edition. Till then, a great afternoon and evening to you.